Glacier Bank's totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And today we welcome State Senator Keith Regier. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you, Keith.
Yeah. Somehow or another, I figure you must just love your job, Keith. Not only have you been doing this for a very long time, you've got both your kids into it, too.
Well, it's kind of unique and interesting the way it worked out that they're able to go. But, yeah, it's an honor and a privilege for our family to serve the Flathead.
We have to be careful, you know, because one's a senator, the one we're talking to now. The other two are representatives, and if you could get it mixed up, it could be not so good. So we've got the senator today. So, Keith, let's talk about Senate Joint Resolution 11.
Senate Joint Resolution 11.
Yes, that's the notion that the legislature, not the Supreme Court, should be making laws.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the interpretation of who makes laws. Yeah, the courts go by their judicial canon, and in there it says that the court rules, constitution, statute, and decisional law are all laws. And there's a little question there as to why the court rules should be laws, but anyhow, we had a good hearing on this resolution in the Senate, and I think it died on a 25-25 vote. But I think there's a lot of merit there. Who makes laws? According to our Constitution, a law is supposed to be made by a bill in the legislature. So that was the intent of Senate Joint Resolution 11.
How do we get confused about these things, Keith? I mean, it seems like fifth grade civics to me.
Well, it does, but you know, part of it is the legislature's fault too. They'll pass bills that will give rulemaking authority to a department or a government agency, and that has the effect of law as well, and then it starts creeping out of the legislature's hands that way. So those things happen. And you know, there's that debate that's going on about the judiciary wanting to legislate from the bench. They see a law that they probably don't like philosophically, and they enjoin it, and that's a form of legislating as well.
Well, we had one situation last session where they didn't want to. I think it had to do with. The idea of how they were elected, and boy, that got to be very contentious between the legislature, who wanted it one way, and the Supreme Court, who wanted it their way.
Yeah, I think you're referring to a bill last session that would have had Supreme Court justices elected by district instead of statewide.
Yes.
And they felt that a threat, and I thought it was. Is a good idea as far as, you know, if you've got a smaller district, 1/7 of the state, and the person has to come from that district, it's a lot easier to know that person and be able to work with them. So, but the court didn't see it that way.
And as I remember, the Chief Justice, I believe, actually lobbied the governor.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised on that.
Yeah, all right. Okay, let's talk about, while we're talking about the Supreme Court, I know this is something you've been spending some time on, transparency in the judicial complaint and discipline process.
Mm. Yeah, there's a Judicial Standards Commission that is established in the Constitution. Constitution just says that there's supposed to be two district court judges, a lawyer, and then two citizens that are not lawyers, so a five-member panel. And that panel is to review complaints about judges. And the Constitution does not say how those five people are picked. So statute set up back in the 70s had the Supreme Court pick the lawyer, and the district court judges vote amongst themselves to see the two district court judges that would be on the panel. Well, there's a bill that's going through the legislature to change that to where the legislature will appoint those district judges, and the attorney general would appoint a lawyer. And the courts don't like that we're changing that, but it's not outside the Constitution, and it's within the purview of the legislature to do that. Judicial Standards Commission is really an important commission, but if you look at their report annually, about 98%, 95 to 98% are complaints are dismissed. And I understand that a lot of people don't like the way the ruling went, so they're just upset, and it's kind of a frivolous complaint. But anyhow, we need some transparency in that those decisions that they make on disciplining judges.
Would we have any constitutional issues involved in this?
No, there wouldn't.
All right. I've seen a lot of things that, that are being discussed in the legislature this session are things that probably will get some constitutional scrutiny by the Supreme Court once the session ends.
Well, that happened last session, and I'm sure it will happen this session. Like I said about plaintiffs that don't have a judge rule the way they want, there are people that probably don't like some of the legislation that comes out of the legislature, and they'll probably put the money up to take it to court and try to get it overturned. But that's part of the process.
Well, that's why we have checks and balances, I guess. Senator Keith Regeer is our guest, and I want to ask you about Brandon's Law and how we came to needing a law like this right after this. And this morning, our guest is Senator Keith Regeer. How many years have you served in the legislature now, Keith?
My freshman year was in 2009.
All right.
So this would make it my eighth session.
Wow. Now, is this the last one you get to serve before you have to take a break?
Yeah, I'm termed out in the Senate, and would really like to turn it over to others and let them do it in the future.
Well, you certainly have put in your time, and I know you put in a tremendous amount of sweat equity in all of this, and so we're thanking you for your service if we don't get a chance to after this session is over. Okay, talk to me about Brandon's Law. First of all, why would we need some? Well, I guess first of all, we better explain what it is.
Well, Brandon's Law, are you referring to a missing persons?
No, I'm referring to the real estate agents.
Prohibiting. Okay.
Yeah, real estate agents.
Yeah. Yeah, the pastor, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was the pastor, Brandon, I think it was in Clinton where he lived, and was selling real estate in Missoula. And it was basically his stand on homosexual marriages and didn't care to partake in that. And the real estate association there didn't like that he was vocal on that social issue, so they basically blackballed him from the multiple listing. And it's a free speech issue. That bill got tabled in Senate Business and Labor, but there already is statute, and the reason it got tabled was there is statute that covers this free speech issue with real estates that is in code already. So there really wasn't a need for that, another law that way.
Yeah. Do you run into that very often, something that seems like a great idea, and it turns out somebody already had that idea?
Well, yeah. When you look at the MCA Montana code annotated as big as it is, there has to be a lot of stuff in there that is duplicated and a lot that's outdated. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of stuff that's really unconstitutional. It's just that no one has ever challenged it.
Uh-huh. And so this is what happened to Brandon's Law as it got tabled, because we already have a Brandon's Law, only we call it something else.
And obviously the pastor didn't know about it, so he didn't take recourse?
Right. Well, I don't know why he didn't pursue it farther. He started in the process, and I think they're still in the litigation stage there. But to me, it's too bad that we have to stand up for our constitutional rights and go to court that way.
Yeah. One of the many issues you've been working on throughout your career is your strong stance on anti-abortion. Would you like to spend a few moments talking about that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there. I have Senate Bill 154 talks about right to privacy. Montana's Constitution doesn't just give a right to privacy. If you look at the Constitution, it says an individual right to privacy, and most people, and I even think the courts, when they deal with that issue, leave that word individual out. And an individual right to privacy, I can agree with that. But when it comes to abortion, we know that through science, it's not an individual act. There's another set of DNA, another set of fingerprints that are there. So if you just go with right to privacy, that's a whole lot different than individual right to privacy. Hmm. And that bill has passed the Senate and is going to the House to see how it fares there.
Well, that sounds to me like that might end up being a constitutional question.
I'm sure it will, and that really is the premise of the bill, to get it back in front of the courts and have them make sure that they look at the whole phrase, individual right to privacy, and how abortion fits in with that.
Mm-hmm. And if life begins at conception, then there is another individual than the person who would be giving birth, correct?
Well, that would be correct. That's, we know there's, from conception on, there's a new set of DNA. It's a new person. And, that individual right to privacy doesn't give us the right to abuse our spouses or kids or that kind of thing. But we'll see what the courts do. The courts did rule, and a lot of people talk about the Armstrong decision back in 1999. But did they really look at it from an individual right to privacy? Senate Bill 154 would say they didn't, and need to revisit that.
I thought it was very insightful when you brought up that bill, because it was something that I hadn't thought of before. So we appreciate your service.
Yes, that well, it'll be good to get a reading on that.
Well, yeah, and, the U.S. Constitution doesn't say anything about right to privacy, and what the Supreme Court did on Roe v. Wade makes it come back to the court or to the states. So we'll see what the courts say about that bill should it get through.
All right. Senator Keith Regeer is our guest this morning, and Robin wants to ask you about the idea that we want to push Congress to maybe come up with an alternative to the American Indian reservations. Fascinating. We'll talk to Keith Regeer about that after this.
Well, from the Indian point of view, they may think their reservation used to be a lot larger, and the question is whether the reservations are serving Indians and other citizens of the state of Montana. Can you talk to us about the alternatives that are being considered?
Well, there really aren't any alternatives considered at this point. I think what you're referring to is a bill draft request that I put in for some constituents, and it was just for a resolution to ask Congress to look into alternatives to the reservation system. And I tell you, that really stirred up a hornet's nest. I was getting messages from all over the United States, calling me all kinds of names, and then on the other side telling me I was spot on to go for it. And, if we look at the reservations in Montana, there's obviously some problems there. Not saying that those same problems aren't all across the state, but, are the reservation systems really serving the tribal people to the best now? I don't know. I think it would do Congress good to take a look at it, see if that system is really what we want to keep going on.
Now, is that a federal system, though? Because they're
yes,
a sovereign nation under that. And, of course, I know the Indians wouldn't like to view it as losing again, as far as losing ground, losing respect. So it's something that is thought-provoking, and but it would be great if it could be a win-win situation. So keep us posted on that. I guess if this is your last session, though, is this one going to be a work in progress?
Well, there's a lot of issues that are a work in progress. I've seen a lot of legislation die in one session, comes back the next session and passes, or maybe it takes two or three sessions before it gets worked out right. So that issue, doesn't really mean taking the reservations away. It's just how can we serve these people better?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, there's a huge, if you look at, for example, the reservation south of us, the Flathead Reservation and the Salish and Kootenai reservations, they're doing real well. You go over to, over to eastern Montana and some of the reservations there, it's sad.
Yeah. A big disparity that way. And if you look at the drug traffic, the fentanyl and meth, a lot of it heads right to the reservations. Not that it's not in other parts, too, but there's a lot of that going on. And it's just, again, are we serving those people the best we can?
And health services and things like that. And there's just that disparity that you bring up, Keith, that is if you ever go over to Fort Belknap and the Rocky Boy Reservation over there, you will see poverty like you would see in a third world country.
Yeah, that's true. So some things need to change, and I'd like to see a better life for all of those people.
Yeah. Keith, I want to just give you an opportunity here, kind of a free form of consciousness. You can tell us what you want to tell us without us asking you. So go ahead, take a couple of minutes.
Okay, sure, I appreciate that. One thing, legislators, we get a lot of messages, emails, phone messages through the switchboard here at the Capitol. I must average maybe 400 messages a day.
Wow.
Telling me vote for something, don't vote for something else, and then another thing I think a lot of constituents don't understand, you got to follow bills really close. They can get amended in one committee, and the intent of the bill could change 180 degrees. So following the bills, getting on the legislative website and follow the current draft of the bill, I think would help people understand the bill better, too. But along with those messages every day, I don't have a personal secretary, and it's tough to answer just a few. I'm chair of Senate Judiciary, and in the first half of the session, we heard 125 bills just in our committee alone, and we're going to surpass that in the second half of the session. So things really go fast, and it gets complicated at times. I do want to bring out that some bills that didn't get vetoed, they didn't get changed, and are already in law. Our Senate Bill 121, which reduces the income tax rate from 6.5% to 5.9%. That is law now, so you in the future you're going to be paying less income tax in Montana. House Bill 222 got passed, and that's going to send $500 for the next once each year for the next 2 years to for property tax rebate. And then there's House Bill 192, an income tax rebate, $1,250 per person, $2,500 for married couple, and those are law. So there's a lot of good things that have happened, and those are some that have already been signed into law.
Okay.
Outside of that, you know, there's interesting things. Senate Bill 419 would ban TikTok in Montana. That passed the Senate and is going to the House. It might be an interesting one for you guys to dig in on TikTok and what it does and whether it's a good idea to ban it in Montana. And then there's a bunch of constitutional initiatives that'll be coming up that I think are interesting for debate, some on putting our right to hunt, fish, and trap into the Constitution. Another one, House Bill 517, would be a constitutional amendment that that's dealing with a Board of Regents and constitutional rights on campus. So a lot of fun things to follow here in the legislature, but it can get confusing.
Yeah, you caught my attention with the rebates. You know, I'm still focusing on those. Now, how is that going to work as far as property tax? Are we going to have to apply for the rebate, or is it going to be automatic each year?
It'll be automatic. It'll be mailed out. And I made sure that we didn't have to pay taxes on the money that we're getting back, at least not state taxes.
Thank you.
You might have to declare it on your federal, but not on the state. That would have been crazy, wouldn't it?
Okay. Now, and the income tax, you mentioned $1,250 per person. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But... you know, if a person only paid in $500, they would only get the $500, but up to $1,250 per person.
Okay.
Depending upon how much you paid.
Now, is that going to be automatic also?
Yes, it will.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right. Some good legislation there. Thank you, Keith.
Senator Keith Regeer, thank you so much for spending time with us today and helping us kind of wade through some of these issues. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and for what you guys do, and happy spring, Flathead.
Yes. Thank you, Keith.
It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby, keeping you connected to your friends and your community, an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. We hope you plan on joining us tomorrow for Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. We're going to talk with wildland firefighter and event coordinator Justin Kaber.